Bad, not too bad. Been behind on my homework. I woke up a couple of hours ago. I have to give up some thoughts.
That's a nice t-shirt there, you guys. What's the story there?
Well, it's Fecal Love. You should check out the print. It says, pub fuck, sailor love, sex gang. So, all things I'm in favour of.
It's a big penis that seems to be being skewered by.
Decorated.
Is there fecal matter around the penis as well, or?
Could well be. Yeah, we've got a ball and chain, arrow, swords, various, spear, arrow, etc.
Beautiful.
Fecal love means mutilation.
Let's do no further ado. Al's on his way, and we'll see where he is. He got stuck at KFC in Worsley Mains, but I think he's here now. So, welcome to the world's best Fallout video game podcast, aka Idiot Joy Showland, aka Other Stuff. So, this is essentially a fall bracket, where all 500 songs will eventually go head-to-head for an ultimate winner showdown. It's not the first one, it's not the best one, but it is one. We've split it into four eras, 79 to 85, 86 to 93, 94 to 2001, and then 2001 to the bloody end. You'll work out the rules as we go, whether you like it or not. And so Alistair's here. Evening, Alistair Aspinall. How are you today?
I'm kind of okay. Have me second Corovis jab, feeling the effects of it. Never mind. At least I won't get Corovid virus.
You will not. There'll be no corrosion going on over there, thank the Lord. Let's do some introductions for the good people out here who were tardy and didn't bother showing up for the first one. Who are you in the hat?
Hello all, my name is Philip.
No more information needed. And down there in the beautiful Fecal Matter t-shirt.
Hello all, I'm Ezra. I just woke up.
Beautiful. And I am Brendan. And so last week we put through a bunch of songs, some controversial, some easy. Tough Life Boogie will not be seen again, thankfully. So shall we just get straight into it? The first song showdown today is I Am Damo Suzuki from This Nation's Saving Grace versus Put Away by The Fall. Oh, they're all about The Fall, aren't they? So, very nice indeed. I'm Damo Suzuki, This Nation's Saving Grace. Ezra, what's your take on that?
I fucking love it. It's great. I mean, I'm a massive Can fan. That's one of my favorite drum patterns of all time, from one of my favorite songs of all time, from one of my favorite albums of all time, being covered by one of my other favorite bands of all time on another one of my favorite albums of all time. Yeah, it's genius, and it speaks volumes to the fact that The Fall could just basically rip off a song as completely as that, and yet somehow, if maybe not improve on it, then at least equal it. I did do one last cut up for this one, which I'll read if there's time. Soundtracks together, I fire time back. Soundtracks, Damo, who to am, Western, no ain't. Mine Western, am bag, having to fast brass see. Got Western, go back, get brass, now egg, crack the it. Damo Suzuki, in forgive to Mr. I'm recipe of time. Am days was egg, this speak lyric, come paper dose. Which I thought was maybe the most meaningful of the cut ups I've done so far, so grand.
I think you nailed it with that one, Ezra. To be honest, I don't think anyone could be left in the shadow of a doubt. Philip?
I refer to the honourable member's previous comment. Yeah, I love this. It's... I think it's really interesting what Ezra just said about the music, actually, because it's one of the things that you don't normally associate with the Fall Out Boy, technical expertise, but they are actually amazing musicians, and the fact that they've got that kind of caliber to do a song like this. I think the drums are really interesting as well, because it's obviously deliberately just slightly offbeat at times. It goes off kilter from time to time, and it, given the lyrics of what he's saying as well, it's that's obviously a deliberate kind of warping that they're trying to do on the record, and it gives you that uneasy feeling all the way through it. I also think the lyrics are superb on this song. I think it's a proper sort of tour de force of what they're capable of. So yeah, I love it. I love the invocation of Damo Suzuki in this. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I think you're obviously a musician and I'm not. And so you know that they deliberately did it off kilter. I don't know if I'm so convinced of that, Alistair.
Well, I wasn't too sure about that because I just thought they were being dead good. So I tried like working it out myself. It does seem to go out, but I just thought it was like, okay, this is a deliberate writing. Smith's gone, right, no, you're doing that. And it stuck at that. So yeah, I think that's some deliberate writing. Yeah, but my extensive notes just went as far as wow, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. It's a bloody great tune, isn't it? You know, like you mentioned, Can. Yeah, I mean, like very, very influential band. You know, I think if you're going to be in a band that makes interesting music, you've got to be aware of Can and the Fall.
Yeah, we paid some tributes to the Monks last week, and now Can taking off the big boys. I was worried whether it tipped over the edge into parody. It's not a popular opinion, but I don't know if I'd have liked it better if he wasn't so on the nose about Damo Suzuki.
I think it's better than Shut Up.
Oh yeah, no question. this is a great song, and musically that syncopation that comes in, and yeah, whether they're doing it on purpose or whether it's ineptitude, I don't know, but it is brilliant. It works really well. And yeah, I do love all the stuff about Damo Suzuki and all the references to Germany that he consistently makes in almost every song he does. But and you know, is it really a racist parody of a Japanese man if you then use that style for the next 20 years? Did he? I don't know, but top notch regardless of all those things. And did we have any comments from Beyond the Grave this week, Philip?
He's in a bit of a sulky mood, to be honest with you. I've been trying to cajole him into saying something, but he's just been raising his eyebrows to communicate this week. So he's just down to scores, I think.
I actually got an ectoplasm mail through my toaster this morning that said, "I'm Damo Suzuki, Sublime, based around, oh yeah, the way the vocal take and the instrument take are out of sync with each other, and the rhythms phase in and out of time is hypnotic. Top 20 Fall tracks for sure." I don't know, maybe I read too much into that, but that's what I got from my toast this morning.
So the eyebrows,
the wiggles were very specific. We've made a chord like that, that Diving Bell and the Butterfly Man. Moving on, Phil, bring up, cue up the next song if you would. Well, that was splendid, wasn't it? Alistair, you're up.
Bloody marvellous, yeah. Another great tune. I like the skippy rockabilly type beat, the kazoos, you can't beat. Just dead moronic. But yeah, he's sounding like on top form, like he's really enjoying himself. You know, sending out the message. Probably storyline behind it. I'm not aware what it is.
There's a lot going on, Al. There's a lot going on in the world and in this song. Who knows? It's not our job to keep up with it all. Ezra?
Yeah, it's a fucking champion track. As I see it, it's basically about getting slammed up for being a violent hooligan of some kind or a career criminal. And I'm kind of shocked and disappointed and somehow also simultaneously pleased that it's never been used in any British crime films. Because, you know, I mean, no sex or records for a year and a day, isn't it? Or something like that in the lyrics. This was the one which I wanted to drop that word on it, it's insouciant. The insouciant is just, and you know, the casual British criminal lethality of it all is just very, very nice.
There is a sinister undercurrent, and yes, it's only a matter of time before some BBC Four twonk gets their hands on it. Phil Rigby, are you that twonk?
It's a great tune, and it just gets you boogieing. And the thing that really jumped out to me when I listened to it before was there's a guitar solo in it, which is just like really insane for the Fall. It's like almost part of the anti-music kind of philosophy to not have guitar solos. But this has a really great guitar solo in it. So, you know, kudos to the band for being able to pull something like that off in the inimitable style. Or maybe all too imitable, given the conversation in the WhatsApp chat this week. But yeah, it's a great tune. And
don't give away what happens in the WhatsApp chat. That's none of these people's business. Double Vox, Song Spoke, Lo-Fi Aesthetic. Yeah, I'm a big fan of all that stuff. I am not a fan of scatting. Or kazoos. No, thank you. It's like, okay, we got this fucking great tune and this great production. How can we ruin it? No, thank you. Noun to fight. I am mad me lyrics. And that sweet Scanlan solo. But it is too late. And then someone still tries to ruin it with hand clap. The experimental is conventional. He is another man nabbed by the authorities. But I like it a lot more than I did when I first heard it. But first I thought it was a clear Damo Suzuki was towering over it. But it made some ground. We'll find out very soon whether it made enough ground, won't we? I can't mute myself and then start talking. Time to get some scores. Alistair, what are the scores on your draws?
Ooh, it's a tough little cookie, this one, isn't it? Whether or not you kind of mark down Damo Suzuki for being a bit of a lot of a camera. Debatable going away. Yeah, again, that solo at the end of it is just full on noise. It's ass. And yeah, anything you can do to ruin a pop song, I'm quite, because he's like you said, do it. Yeah, it makes it more interesting. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to go for Damo Suzuki on that one. I did score it a mighty 9.5 out of 10. Highest yet.
That is a very high score, Alistair. You got to leave yourself somewhere to go. I want to know what's in that. What's in that little pocket between 9.5 and 10? That's a secret.
No, it's a 9.5 plus that is available. And a 9.5 double plus, good.
Okay.
Getting to new speak.
It was tough, but really there's no contest. It's got to be Damo. Both excellent, but yeah, Damo.
Duly noted. Philip?
It's easy peasy. It's 2-1 to Damo Suzuki. But what's your fear with kazoos, Brendan? Why are you afraid of the kazoo?
I mean, you misinterpreted my speech there, Philip. I didn't say I was afraid of the kazoo. I just said they make me physically sick, as does scatting. So two of them, it's like vomit squirt.
I thought you'd been bit by one. That's where the fear come from as a child, but you overindulged on them, thrown up.
Yeah. I did. One went in through the back end and came out through the front, and since then I've never been the same. I'm also going for a Damo Suzuki, even though I shat all over it earlier. And Proper Peel does have to say about Put Away. They've also gone for Damo, so it's a clearer, it's a route. But they did happen to say, I love this, even more in context. On the album, it feels like a ray of sunlight after an eternity of horror. But taking on its own, the Pearl Kazoos over the muffled fifth-hand cassette production still shock a bit. A proper bopper. Putting me away, I'll be boo-bop-bop, boo-bop-bop. And I think that really does say it all. Moving on to a next showdown, which is one that I have been looking forward to. Shoulder Pads, it's MES and Shoulder Pads versus Victoria. The one you're not allowed to like. Ezra, you're up first.
All right.
Talking about Shoulder Pads.
Shoulder Pads, first time I ever heard it. I think it's fucking sick as fuck. It's fucking great. It's brilliant. Unbeatable. Like, it's got this great chugging, velvety kind of guitar going on. It's got this awesomely amazing synth line, which is, and I confirmed this, taken from Are You Being Served? And it puts the wonderful abiding image of MES in Shoulder Pads straight into your cerebral cortex. It's now engraved there. It's such a fantastic song.
It certainly is.
Hey, he says, you not want me to put some of the music on?
He says that he wolfs down his teeth. I do, Phil. Thanks for reminding me of that. Play some music, please, okay, if you don't mind.
Not that one, though.
We'll be right back.
years gone, to my surprise. For all the Michaelettes stayed home, picking antiques and closes, cozy flat with green bits, made on corn white slimmer toes.
Nice one. Well, while you're here, Phil, what are your thoughts on this sweet tune?
I'd never picked on the How You Been Served thing before. That's amazing. I might have to reconsider my view of this song. I don't know that. It's another little poppy gem, but I really like it, and it does make me nod my head. I like the keyboard on it. They've got a knack of finding these really nice little keyboard hooks, haven't they? There's a few more coming up. And I really like, the other thing I really like is these really laid back vocal delivery on this. It's so relaxed, isn't it? It's like Marvin Gaye or something lying on a couch. I like it. It's a good one. I don't think it's top tier, but it's certainly not bottom.
It's interesting. Marvin Gaye on a couch was the first thing that I thought of. Obviously, on the couch in what were they called in Are You Being Served? What was the shop? Al, you know this. This is your realm.
Grace Brothers.
Thank you. To Marvin Gaye on a Grace Brothers couch. Yeah, Alistair, what do you got to say about this?
I'll give you another little I'm Being Served little tale. The theme for it, do you know the cash register sound? Because they couldn't afford a drummer, so they just sampled, basically a sample, yeah, and created the rhythm from the cash machine. Bloody genius. I think might have been Ronnie Hazelhurst, that. Could be wrong, though, could be wrong, but I'd say it sounds a bit like a Hazelhurst tune. But anyway, back to the fall. Great tune. Couldn't tell Lou Reed from The Who, funny. But it's good, sort of like, there's a tension in there with the bass and the drums, kind of like, you know, they get this doom 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 doom. It's like building up. So yeah, I do like that. And fantastic how you've been served keyboards. Great.
Yeah, splendid. I think what he says, Al, is they couldn't tell Lou Reed from Doug Yule, which, you know, it's a bit harsh on Doug Yule, but he is not Lou Reed. Cheeky keys and chugging guitars, MES and shoulder pads. For the last week, that phrase has just been going by my head constantly. And also, maybe your vocab of the week is his use of kecks, Harlequin kecks. Cheeky synth, fall bingo, great switch into bridge. It's an American football term, and I can't stand American football. It's like a sort of moronic chess, is apparently what Mess said about this song. Doesn't explain a lot. It wasn't a Beatles song, but a superhero in Harlequin kecks. Oh, it's brilliant. It is brilliant. Bricks. Mark borrowed a shirt of mine I had borrowed from my mother and it had shoulder pads in it. That struck me as hilarious. MES in shoulder pads. I don't know if that's true. While I'm here, Peel said shoulder pads. Pretty funny and funky. I feel like it's one of the few self-effacing things Mark did along with paintwork. Great track on an underappreciated record. He knows his stuff. Pause. Let's all take a deep breath before we move on to the worst best. The one you're not allowed to talk about. Victoria. Give us a snippet, Philip, if you don't mind. It exists. It's in the mix. I can't remember who's gone first before, so I'm going to Ezra.
Yeah, I actually really like this song. I like it 10 times more since I've been watching the video a lot, because I think the video really just works perfectly with it. The satire comes as much through the tone of voice in Mark's singing as anything else, and the kind of little snotty looks that he gives in the video. It's a real shame that you put it up against shoulder pads at the end of the day, because I would have liked it to have gotten further. I get a horrible feeling it may not. not. But anyways, yeah, if I was going
to
hate...
My signal to do this was to say that the Victoria is going to be murdered, not that you have to stop talking. But thank you for that, Ezra. A spot on observation. The video is absolutely splendid, and it has torn me from what should have been an easy decision. Alistair.
Yeah, it's a really good pop song, but it is what it is. It's a good song. They had a decent lineup at the time. It'd be difficult for them to like truly murder it unless they were doing it deliberately, I think. I didn't actually bother writing any notes for it. it's an okay cover. Yeah, they start, making a stab at the hit parade, I think.
Indeed. And they did trouble the hit parade with it a little bit, which makes everything just a bit worse.
Well, it's a shame that's probably what people might remember them for. But I've said that when Smithy died on the Radio 4, they did play Eat Yourself Fitter, which was like that this time in the morning.
It was a bold choice, but a good one. Philip?
I did write some notes. What I wrote was best video, most tepid cover. That was it. Because it's like, it's a great song. I love the original. The Kinks are awesome. But he just phones it in, doesn't he? He's obviously deliberately phoning this one in. You get the impression that it was kind of Bricks pushing a little bit of this, maybe, wanting it to be a bit of a more accessible pop hit and all that kind of gubbins. It's a good song that they've just done a very half-assed version of for whatever reason. He doesn't bring any of himself to it, does he? Apart from a little bit of snarl and sideways glances, I guess.
No, I'm with you on that. I kind of love it. I think it's great, but it's wrong and it's bad and it's not allowed to be like fall song, and it's certainly not allowed to be like one of their biggest hit. And I'm glad now that they did play It Yourself Fitter, not Victoria, when he died. I'm hoping when Ray Davies died, they play the Kinks cover version of Tough Life Boogie.
Who makes the Nazis?
That's right. Well done. I do love the proper silly video, like you said, Ezra, but we can't have the Fall doing chart-hitting pop covers. But yeah, we can, because we can do a ballet, and then we can go on Top of the Pops and fuck off, because we can do what we want. But also, Bricks might have made us do it, so why did we do it? Who fucking knows? But they just did it and moved on, so good work, and I think that's what we should do as well. Bellboy! Peel does not like this one. The Fall play another shit cover version is more than he needed to say, but he did say it. So let's put this bad boy 6 feet under. Philip?
Well, as much as I was wondering whether I could justify Victoria getting a point as a gateway drug for tricking people into listening to The Fall, but in good conscience, I can't really do that. So it's shoulder pads 3 points for me.
Shoulder pads for me?
Yeah, I've got to go with shoulder pads. I think it's some kind of an achievement to get something that seditious into the top 40, but shoulder pads is just a proper fucking banger.
Agreed. And Pale's gone with shoulder pads, and I'm going with shoulder pads too. And if I did want to stretch out a Kinks reference, maybe they're talking about a dedicated follower fashion. Who knows? But there we go. Moving on to our third one. We're making good time, which is good. It's where people come to a podcast to know that they're hitting their markers. So we're okay. We're up next. Feeling Numb from Cerebro Caustic versus A Masquerada from Levitate. Philip, do the honours.
Post festivities, I'm feeling numb now. From a reminiscent breakdown, a kind of tune song.
I'm going to go first on this one. This is like shit. It's, it reminds me of like a Belly or a Throwing Muses song with Smith just going over the top of it. Cerebral Caustic is a great title. Everything is broken because of the grist that curtails. Beautiful lyric. And I like the image of Get the Western On, sticking with a family, like a goggle box kind of culture. Everyone's sat around in the front room day after, calming down, having a cool down. But, and you'll be dead before I'm born. Pah! But it did get me asking the question, how the fall shit? And that's not a question I want to be asking myself, so I'm moving on.
I'm going to totally disagree with you about this. I really, really love I love this tune. I think it's like that perfect marriage of when Bricks and Smithy actually complement each other in the different deliveries. I love the sort of the sweet Bricks kind of chorus hook and how it kind of grates up against Smithy's just snarly sort of delivery with it all. I think it works really well. I think the production on it is spot on. And I love how the guitars and drums are just right in your grill all the way through it. I think they just get it spot on. I'm going to drop the Serge Gainsbourg thing again. I think it's got that kind of that salt and sugar thing going on. So I absolutely adore it. I nominate Ezra.
All right. Yeah, I think this is a great, great song. It's got one of my favourite vocal lines that I've heard from Bricks. You know, I'm a big sucker for things like the Pixies and the Breeders and that kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, just hearing Mr. Smith gnarling away over such a kind of pretty song, I'm like a pig in shit.
Well, I thought it was all right, you know. Nice little pop tune again. I thought it was kind of funny that this little bit to it where it sounds like Smithy's trying to harmonise in a very half-assed way, but it's still quite amusing. Phil mentioned the production going, oh yeah, just right. I thought it could have done with being a bit rougher, really, like, you know, they recorded it at Toll Rag or somewhere like that, you know, you might have got a bit more of a raw feel to it, a bit overproduced, I think, but yeah, it's alright.
Yeah, seems like Al's got a good handle on this, you two. I'm not sure what's going on, but we'll sort that out. I won't give away what Peely thinks yet. Let's move on to the Masquerada.
Well, Masquerade, you know, I didn't like the single bit. I listened to that. I thought that was a bit dubby, like with the production. It's a bit like Smithy. The live performance is going, turning amps up and down and things like that. But yeah, I found it a bit boring.
I'm going to go next. And I'm going to say, I thought it's like University Challenge. It's like a 90s tune, isn't it? It's like Utah Saints have turned up or something like that. I despise the music on this and the production of it. It just turned me off straight away. It's like a horrible Shame and B-side or something like that. Whereas I think if the music was different, I would probably have enjoyed the singing a bit more on it, and the lyrics and stuff. But because the music's so mediocre on it and forgettable, it just made me think that it was a bit of a phone in on the lyrics as well. The Masquerade. Oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. So yeah, not amazing.
I think it's ace. I had an MDMA flashback as soon as I heard those synths come in. I love this period of the fall. I love this album, and I love the way that they used all the cheesiest presets available to just adorn their tracks with. It's just ludicrously perfect. Having said that, there's other stuff on Levitate which I'm gunning for more so than this. But I reckon it's a solid banger.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a real soft spot for this album and for a really bad 90s. Since Al, did you do that Shame and Covers band that we did once? Were you in on that? Or was it our Kieran who played on that?
I remember we did that many of them, didn't we?
We did a Shame and Covers, which was pretty funny. But yeah, that synth bass was unfashionable when it came out. But is that the point? That the uncool becomes cool in Mez's hands? I like the energetic delivery and more raging against the fake. And I like the fact, like, who else would pronounce the title of the song wrong and differently every time they sung it? It's like, a masquerade, a masquerade. It's like, it's clearly getting it wrong on purpose. But yeah. The Masquerade Man Lives Alone, The Destruction Is Forecast in the Old Testament, Grim-Visaged War Hath Smoothed His Wrinkled Front. Those aren't actually lyrics from the song, they're from Shakespeare, but it's close enough. So, shall we put this, one of these, to bed? Sadly, it looks like I might be outvoted again, not having a good run here. So, I am going to go with Masquerada.
I'm feeling numb.
Yeah, I'm feeling numb.
There's a lot of numbness going on. I'm feeling pretty numb as well.
Peely's also gone with numb. But one thing I didn't tell you, it's because I'm the boss of this podcast. I have a veto. So Masquerade's going through. Thanks all. Moving on. We're on to Mr. Road versus Pledge. So, cue him up, Billy.
This is a really nice bouncer. I love the I've got a name, I've got to say refrain. The guitar line, strange, it put me in mind of, I'm sure that riff's lifted from something. At first I was thinking Pachuco Cadaver by Captain Beefheart, but I couldn't quite convince myself of that, and it's been really, yeah, it's been on my mind anyway. So if any of you gents can enlighten me on that, I'd be most happy. It's all right, it's pretty good.
I know where it's lifted from. It's like one of the worst level of songs, or maybe even what's that Welsh group with Kelly Jones who sings? I hate this. It's another one of those.
The Stereophonics.
Stereophonics, yeah. I hate this record. And it just overstays its welcome by a day. It goes on forever with that horrible, horrible production and guitars that have been ripped off the worst Levelers song I've ever heard. And I hate the Levelers.
Right, you're fired, Phil. Get off. We don't need those kind of opinions. I think it's good. I think Mystery Road, they had a name, they had a face. It came in three colours with a headband. It was Summers All in One Day, Minimal Fall, Smith in the Groove, digging. You wish it would end after 4 minutes and you wish it did not after 7. That's not my line. I think that was a YouTube comment. There's a dude on the Annotated Fall that goes into like a big long description of what he thinks the song's about, which is pretty fun, about a train. And someone else thinks the lemon freshness is a reference to Lance Armstrong. So there's a lot of digging going on in the Annotated Fall. It's okay. I put it down. This is a granny on bongos track. It didn't matter what the backing track was. Smith was just going to do the same thing no matter what. So
I thought it was okay. Thought the drumming was all right on it, but it might have been better if they got into a bit more of one of those little skippy beats, tried to sort of like break it up a little bit. Technically, no, you're wrong with it, really, like, you know, but it just doesn't kind of have that edge. And yeah, 7 minutes. So not great, but this worse.
It's a functional late era fall track. Let's see what it's up against. We've got Pledge. Do it.
Fresh your world when the time on Joseph works. is where some people fall, my.
It's me. Oh, quality tune. Yeah, I love the Moog on it. I remember ages ago I played a gig with Silver Apples, and the big lever that he had on stage for controlling some of his noises and stuff. It reminds me of synth that requires huge levers to be played and steam coming out of it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, amazing. I love the tune to it. Obviously, bonus points for a bit of Bono bashing in it as well. And I really like his vocal style on this one as well. It's that he's got all kinds of bubbling and gurgling and snarling going on with it, and it's just a delight. From start to finish. I'm a sucker for this album anyway, but it's
Corker. Hello. I really like that one. You know, other furniture polishes are available stores. But yeah, really nice analog, sort of like synthy sound to it, dead minimal. Great the way that the keyboards and the bass kind of like work together with the drums, and you know, the guitar kicks in as well, and they're all working together. It's definitely a stomper, not a strutter. Bass reminded me the sound of it a bit like, you know, sort of shellac or something like that. But yeah, I like it.
Yeah, this tune is a fucking sickness all of its own. I mean, it's just fantastic. Searing electronics right up in the front of the mix, like completely pounding drums. And just best of all is the vocal performance. You know, with some of this late period fall, you get into this thing where like Marky Smith pulls off the incredible trick of just, it's almost like he's become his own self-parody, if you know what I mean. Like he's just doing it so perfectly and still excellently that nothing can really copy or defeat that, you know. And then you've got the kind of rusty Dalek kind of vocal stylings, obviously something about kidnapping Bono, which is something I'm sure we've all wanted to do more than once in our lives. So it's fundamentally, it's infallible.
Absolutely. I mean, I've listened to this album a few times before, but I never really paid attention to this song, and it just fucking is an absolute belter. That synth, it just, like, if you contrast it to the last one we heard, The Masquerade, it's like, okay, this one actually does its job properly. And that, yeah, that late era experimentation with Mezzi's vocals, just super weird, soft, cracking vocals, and then coming in, it actually has a structure, it builds, like almost no fall song actually structurally builds, in which Smith actually gets louder and more intense and then drops down again. But kidnapping Bono. When I went to TV for money, they said, no, dough, rich, pledge. And then those keys come in just like super loud. Mark, you sure you want the keys to be like that loud? Yeah. Three times as loud. It's got everything. It is, I think, is the absolute classic. So let's get the scores on the Doors. What are we thinking, Phil?
Pledge!
Ezra?
Pledge!
Alistair?
Yeah, I'm pledging as well.
All right, and I am making up the four, and much to much controversy there, as Peel has given 3 points to Road and none to Pledge. He is not a fan. We don't know why. He's given us no hints, but that is his wand. Who is to argue with the majesty from beyond the grave? But Pledge is going through. Did we actually decide on Victoria versus Shoulder Pads, or did we just assume, did we just make the assumption that Shoulder Pads was going through? I can't remember.
I think we did, yeah.
Well, it's all recorded, so this will make no sense to people listening, because they will have heard us do it not 10 minutes ago. So splendid.
Victoria definitely got her face kicked off.
God rest her soul. So that concludes tonight's proceedings. We are 25, so we will not squeeze in a fifth. That leaves Damo Suzuki going through, along with Shoulder Pads 1 and 2. Feeling Numb, I will honour your votes, even though they are less important than mine. And finally, Pledge. Brilliant song. Right. Well, that was fun. That was a fun romp. Anyone got anything to say for themselves before we wrap this up?
I like the fact that you've been eating your tea at the same time, Brendan, whilst hosting a show, and occasionally making your voice sound like Marky Smith on Pledge.
I had two pizzas there. Polished off two pizzas while we were doing this, so that was a win-win. A win-win-win, if you will. Ezra, what do you want to say to these good chaps? Come on, let's not fool ourselves. They're all middle-aged men.
It's been grand.
It has indeed. More than one. Alistair.
I'd just like to apologise in advance for the behaviour this week.
Brendan. And I've been Brendan. Tonight. Oh,